I want to go back to the importance of applying the knowledge that we have to our lives and how important it is looking at that. But I want to give you an idea before we get started. If there's a young man that went to school for, let's say, 4 years, he's going to be a helicopter pilot. I like this example because there's a lot to go with it. I mean, he studied, he worked, and he studied, and he worked, and he studied, and he understands the altitudes. He understands latitude, longitude. He knows how far the craft's going to fly. He knows how high it needs to be. He knows how much it weighs. He knows how where he can fit through. He knows the handle turbulence and the wind when he drives through that. And he studied all 5,000 buttons that are inside the aircraft. He knows what every single one of them are. And he comes to his graduation day, and he has to pass this test, but he's never flown. He's never actually flown the helicopter. And I ask you guys, in your opinion, at that point, would he be a pilot?
No.
Right? But he knows everything there is to know about it. He knows what types there are. He knows what kinds they are. He knows how much they hold. He knows some cargo. He knows the ground. He can answer every single question about the helicopter. Does that make him a pilot?
No.
It doesn't. Well, then you understand what I mean then by understanding the word and being drifted and poked and prodded in your heart and your mind and knowing that we are to follow God's will and guilt, God's will working in our life. You know, and we meet so many people that are just absolutely knowledgeable. You could ask them any question, any verse, anything, and it's out there. But if they're not flying this plane, are they right with God?
Nope.
Amen? If I know everything there is to know about this word, but I don't apply it to what I do, am I who I say I am?
Nope.
Yes or no?
No.
So what do you think then? You know, what do you think? And then, and so where do we take that? You know, how can I then spin it to understand? I got to make this personal. I got to make this personal. I have to make it mine. Right? We have to take it in and keep it and make it and apply it. Right? We got to get in the helicopter and probably turn on 81 buttons and then cross your fingers and pull a couple of them knobs and make it go in the air. Right? What does that look like? You know, what does that look like? Does that mean that I know every day I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I press the snooze button 3 times? That's true. And then, but there's 30 minutes. Could have I put 15 minutes into reading the Word right then? Think about the verses while I'm driving for an hour and a half? Right? Where can I fit this in? You know, how can I make it mine? Where can I make it real? Where is it that I'm dropping the ball in my relationship with God? How come I'm not applying my energy to my faith? Because, you know, Mark said, put thee first and all else shall follow. And that's what God said. You know, when you put me first, the problem is we get so caught up on everything else that's around us, it pulls our focus and our strength away, really, because the reality of it is if I give everything I got to God right now, and he said that then eventually all else will follow. Now, those of us that have been in the game for a long time realize that it's not always dancing in the field. Amen? Yeah. Right? You're not always going to dance in the field. The people out in the back room music's not going to be playing. Some days are going to suck. That's the reality of it all. But when that day hits and then the news comes and it hits you in the stomach and it blows your hair out, but you stay sober that day, or you're still home and consistent, and those babies can still come and see you and know who you are. Amen? You don't run off the deep end and lose it because something tragic happened in your life. Now you see all of a sudden, wait a minute, that's progress. That's something for me to hold on to. God's working in my life right now. Because 10 years ago, this would have happened to me, I would have lost my mind. But today, this occurred, and here I am just still praying about it, trying to be patient. Am I angry? Yeah, I'm angry. But it says, be ye angry, but don't sin. Why? Because anger is a natural emotion. But what do we do about it? Back in the past, we'd be violent, right? A lot of us would be. Some of us wouldn't. Some of us stuff it down as much as we could fit and then pack the dynamite in and just put that clock on. 6 months, how long am I going to run? Did I take every little thing that frustrates me for the next 6 months and then somebody barely does anything and they get it all, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Is that familiar? How do we get into that? How do we figure that out? And the thing is when we take this knowledge and we take our faith and we understand what it does in our lives and then we apply it, We think about it and we apply it, and that's what I really want to talk about. Is it, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but it's been quite a while. So I want, so we got a fresh group, and this is something that we need to stay on every day. This is something we need to stay on every day, whether we're at church, Bible study, at home, reading a couple chapters. A lot of us got daily breads. You know, we just get a little piece, but then it sits in our mind and we think about God's word and his ways, and we just kind of let it soak in. And David said, I lie in thy bed and I wait. I meditate upon thee all night. You know, he just lays there and just thinks about God's word. And the funny thing about getting in the word is like uncovering treasures, because the deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper you go, the more light bulbs go off. And a lot of people that spend a lot of time in the word, they'll read the same thing 831 times, 832 times, ding! Oh, that means something else to me today. But that's God giving it to you because you earned it. Study to show yourself approved. But you know, you can always dig in that scripture and always dig in that, and the repercussions of that is changing. But the fact of the matter is, if I knew every single thing about it, but yet I didn't apply it to who I am and what I do, then it benefits me not. Right? Amen? Right? I can't fly because I just know it. I don't have the courage to stand up and show it in front of people in the world. Or I find myself being torn towards temptations in my life that seem to be greater than my faith. And this is a constant struggle. Paul, who wrote 60, 70% of the New Testament, said, you know, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Right? So maybe that's just part about being a human. Does it make it okay? No. No, it does not. It absolutely does. There's no justification in continuing sin. In Hebrews, he said, who are you to re-crucify the Son of God? So he's speaking to me and he's saying, you know, when are you going to get it right? When are you going to take it serious? How are you going to make this change, right? Because ultimately, that's what we need. We just want to be consistent. Everybody wants to be loved. To be honest, God just wants to love us. But I got to take this and I got to make it mine. I got to make it real. I got to take it in. And that's the act of applying. You know, application is the act of applying, means to put into practice. To put it into practice. But if I'm practicing, does that mean that I'm the best? But it means that I'm doing it, and I'm doing it diligently. So right now, I'm not your star player. Amen? You're not going to start me. I might be benched. I might not play this game today, but I'm in the game, and I'm playing. Amen? Right? I'm starting right where I'm at, and I'm going to practice, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it. And I'm taking the knowledge, and I'm putting it in my life, and pretty soon, I might bat ninth. You know, I might bat seventh, you know? Or they may always bench me because I'm old and out of shape, but that's irrelevant. The point is that as we continue to practice our faith in our lives, we get better, we get stronger. It makes us, it comes alive in us, and it builds us down. But to demonstrate means to prove beyond the possibility of doubt. Teaching by example. Teaching by example is the best way to teach. Amen? Those of us that got checkered histories have a hard time, you know, gaining any trust in all of those that love us, right? Because it takes that consistency in our lives, whether that be children, family, parents, relationships. You know, it takes a long time for somebody that's been hurt to look at you and say, okay, yeah, I believe what you're saying again. I can trust in what you're saying to me. I believe in you. Now, do I love you? Yes. Do I believe you? No. Right? For decades, you know? But to demonstrate, if I was to take this, it means to prove beyond the possibility of doubt. And what that means is I can take God's word and God's faith and put that in my life and ignore all this past frustration. Right? Let me set down this torch of all these frustrating things that I've done in my whole life and just focus on faith. Right? I don't have to fix all that, but I got to fix this, or I'm going to keep doing this. Amen? Right? Right? If I just keep doing this and doing this and doing this, I'm never going to get anywhere. Right? So I got to focus on some things. I'm going to move over. I'm going to focus on God. And then I'm going to demonstrate, which means to prove beyond the possibility of doubt, teach by example. A demonstration is a manifestation, which is the exhibition. It's a public show. And what it means is that it's visible. And one of my favorite verses in the Word when you're talking about application is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are the letter of Christ, cared for by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but of tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ towards God. And what he's saying is when God comes into our lives, it's an undeniable fact that we begin to change. And then all of a sudden, those of us around us begin to notice that change. And it also brings about the importance to carry ourselves, no matter how hard it is throughout the daytime, to stay focused on that change. Amen? To keep that word, being that if you're the written letter of Christ because you're carrying the faith, and I'm an outsider and I don't know Christ or have faith, but I know that you do, but I'm witnessing you do these other things, either A, I'm going to think those things are okay too, or B, I'm going to get turned away and say that's not real. But now all of a sudden we've stopped somebody else from being able to partake in the grace of Christ. But it would be my defect, not his. Amen? Right? Right? So I didn't go to school, I didn't study, and I jumped in the helicopter and I needed to get away and I tried to fire that. And if I was lucky enough to start it, am I going to go anywhere? You know? I got to stay in that word. I got to stay in that teacher. I got to understand how it works, and I want to bring it into my life. And it's okay if I'm starting out, you know, even if I got to go back to third grade right now and say, okay, well, here's where my faith's at. I'm going to start from there. Amen? Because what comes after third? Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. Oh, all of a sudden, 10 months down the road, you can teach somebody something. Right?
Amen.
Amen? Moving toward application is one of the most important parts of studying and the teaching process. It's got to be hands-on. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. You know, and what he's calling us to do is to take this knowledge into our lives and apply it to everything that we do. You know, just accept it. So number one would be to receive the message personally. You know, does this message relate to me? How does it relate to me? Why does it relate to me? Applying the sermon, Bible study, verse, or chapter into my own life. So, you know, we go to church periodically, right? We encourage us guys to go to church. And you guys are all here at Bible study tonight. So we're hearing verses and we're being around. And sometimes we have mentors or Christian leaders and people that we talk to and trust. If they put something in me, it's my responsibility then to hang on to that and ask. You know, a lot of times, I love it when pastors have been in churches for, you know, years and years and years and years, and they know the Bible like it was their buddy they called last week. You know, they're talking about Daniel like he called him and talked to him. You know what I mean? He knows every single thing there is to know. And he tells his story, and we sit out there, and he's talking about this, you know, guy that existed, you know, 33,000, you know, 3,500 years ago. And we sit here, and a lot of times we think, you know, how does that really relate to me? But the reality of it is, you find what you're looking for. 9 times out of 10, what I've seen is, no matter where you go, whatever church you go to, whatever congregation you're at, you tend to find what you're looking for. If I'm coming here tonight in resistance because somebody brought me here, then I'm going to look for the defects in every situation, and I'm going to exploit those defects and go home and be like, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. And that gives me the ability to shave that integrity or conscience off and be like, that ain't for me. Right? I go to that church, it might not be that church for me. It might not be the one I go to every Sunday, but I promise you, throughout the hour and a half, 2 hours that I'm there, somebody's going to say something I can bite on to, right? Amen? So you find what you're looking for. I'm looking. Like, how many of us are looking to improve our lives? How many of us are looking to share that love of God and make that change and make that change consistent? Amen? And I can assure you that making that change in faith is the only thing that ever had the ability to stop me, right? I know I've said that many times, and I know that some of you know my testimony really closely, but the reality of it is, until I had faith in my life, I did not have the courage or the energy to defeat the pride in the man that wanted everything, that, you know, that couldn't stop. You know, no matter what I told myself or how much I sold you that story and made it sound real good, there was a timeline. It was like a fuse. Maybe the fuse was 100 feet long this week. Maybe it was 2,000 feet long this week. But there was a fuse and it was burning. Amen? It's faith in our lives and applying that faith in our life that snuffs that fuse out. You know, that takes away that ticking time bomb that wakes you up, and all of a sudden you're sitting at home and you don't have to run away anymore. Right? You guys ever get ants in your pants where no matter, every time you hit the crib, you got to go? No matter what, you can't sit there, can't sit still, got to make, and even if you got to start a fight, you got to go. You got to get out of that house because there's things to do. You can't, I used to be that way. I could not sit still. You cannot sit me still. Now you got to drag me out. Amen. So receive the message personally. Proverbs 1, 2 through 6 says, receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Psalm 25, 4 says, make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day. Now there's David again, but I love this prayer because there's a lot of interesting things in that prayer. A, make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So first of all, I don't fully understand the God that I serve because he's God and I'm man. Amen. So I'm crying out to you and I'm saying there's things about you that I don't quite understand. But it's perfect. Is it perfectly fine to just open up and say that? Right? Yeah. It should be. Right? It should be all right to say, hey, I want to know more about you. I want to be closer to you. Teach me more about you. And then he says, lead me in the way of truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Salvation means rescue. Rescue. How many times did we tie the net over ourselves? Amen. I know that I did. I'd almost jump in potato bags. It'd be so bad. You know, I mean, they've never seen anybody get their feet caught up as many times as me in my lifetime. And I talked to all these guys and it's just we spend a lot of time focusing on non-profitable things that continue to hurt us in the long run. You know, and David said, teach me your ways. He says, you're better than me. You're stronger than me. You have the answer. And I need that answer. Amen. But because you are the God of my salvation. What's that mean? It's because you're going to rescue me. You're going to rescue me from this hate. You're going to rescue me from this frustration, from this unforgiveness, from this addiction, from this life, from these 31 years of just doing everybody wrong. Amen. You're going to rescue me. You're the God of my rescue. I know that you're going to come in. I know that you're going to work in my life. But I am going to do my part. I'm going to read. I'm going to think about you. I'm going to try to fight myself and move in your direction. I'm going to take your knowledge and apply it to who I am and what I do. But I expect you to come in and shine your power in my life. For thee I wait all day. That's another thing. Microwave generation, I want it now. JG got it right. JG wasn't playing. I mean, that's the most dead on statement in the world right now. I want it now. What do you want? You want a car? I gotta get it now. Get food, just go get it, pick it up, bring it out, go get it right now. You know what I mean? I gotta get it now. Not gonna wait for it. But David said, I will wait for thee all day. Amen. So sometimes it might be okay that I don't have what I want, amen. Maybe I got to understand that I don't get the things that I want. Or maybe I don't realize that those things that I want aren't what's best for me. Or maybe if they are, maybe God wants me to sit back and understand that now it's time to earn them. So that when I get them this time, I'm not going to throw them in the wind, right? I'm not going to pull the handle and then not care and wake up and go back home next week. Press the button. You know what I mean? What are you doing in your life right now? He said, you filled the bag with empty holes. Why? Because I blow it away. He said, consider your ways. And I know through my entire life, how many times I generated whatever I generated, it got blown away immediately. And I said, whatever. And I just didn't care. Didn't have an idea. And then I went and worked. And I was like, this ain't right. Right? Is this right? Are you sure something ain't wrong with this check right here? You know what I mean? Wait a minute. Something ain't right. But you know what? Those pennies added up faster than any of that other stuff ever did. In a better place today than I ever was, 10 times full. Amen. And more peace than I ever had with less things. How much money can you spend to buy peace? None. Because peace cannot be purchased. Peace is grace. Grace is given. Amen. We've got to come after. We've got to hunger for things that we can't buy anymore. Amen. But it's free. Ephesians 5:13. But all things come visible when they're exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And we're talking about receiving the message personally, and I'm talking about sometimes being lost in my life. But the question is, I need to spend time in this Word. And if I'm not spending time in this Word, then I'm not looking for direction. But then when I do spend my time in this Word and the light bulb goes off or the conscience speaks up, then he says, right here, all things that are exposed by the light, or everything becomes visible when exposed to the light, for everything that is visible is light, for the reason it says, awake and sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. So it means no matter who you are, where you are, what you got, you turn to the Lord, and He'll begin to grow us. Amen. He'll reach out to us. I know that the verse in Ezekiel says, for the Lord's hand is not too short that He can't reach, but it's your iniquity that separates you from Him. And what He's saying is that God's a gentleman. And if I keep choosing my sin and my flesh and my frustration over Him, He's not going to come force me to listen. But He's always going to cordially love me and encourage me to be there. And I know that we get messages through all different types of people. Confirmation comes in twos. You ever been told the same thing by two different people mm-hmm. that no possible way could have spoke to each other? Yeah. You know, it comes from this way, and it comes from this way, it comes this, and then it hits you in the gut. You're like, oh my God, God's talking to me right now. I've got to do this. You know, but He's saying that the Lord's arm's not too short. There's nowhere we can go. David said, if I went to the depths of the sea, if I went to hell, if I went wherever I went, is there anywhere God can't reach me? Amen. And I want to take that to heart and know that no matter who we are, what we've done, or where we've been, that God loves us and He's there for us right now. Amen. And it's not God that's not reaching out. It's me that's turning away. And I keep turning away for greed. I keep turning away for lust. I keep turning away for pride. I keep turning away for stratus or status. Not a stratus. I don't want a stratus. However, it would be a blessing. I'm sorry. But you know, there's just so much temptation out there. And there's so much like, how much carpet do I need to put in front of you right now to get all your feet on it so I can take it away again? You know, what's the pitch? You know, what can I put out there in front of you right now to get your feet back on this carpet so I can swipe you away? You know, and the fact of the matter is, if I'm in this word and I'm applying it to my life, every single time that little carpet rolls out, I'm like, that's too good to be true. I'm not going down that road. I'm going to stay on this one because this one makes me feel good. This one heals me, keeps me where I'm supposed to go. This one restored relationships. This one put my children back in my house. Amen?
Yes.
I know this is the road. I don't need that. Awaken and Christ will shine on you. So that just means that today, right now, tonight, I get home, I close the door, I get on my knees and I pray. And I say, God, you know, through your grace and mercy, I understand that you're there for me. And I'm calling out to you. And David said, teach me thy ways. Teach me your path because you're my salvation. Amen. That's such a powerful prayer. It doesn't mean that I'm special. It doesn't mean I'm anybody. It just means that I'm reaching out to you and I know that you're God and I need you in my life. Amen. Is that too hard to do? I don't think so. Number two is reflect on our lives and identify what needs to change as a result of God's word. So I'm in church. I'm in Bible study. I've got Christian friends. We text verses back and forth a lot. You know, I mean, I'm just getting exposed to the word and I'm learning about it. But now I need to identify when I'm reading this word and it says, Ben, your road rage is completely out of hand. Man. Man. Wait a minute. Donnie,
yeah.
Your road rage is way out of hand. I got to listen. Amen. You know, he might say, are you living by my will? Are you doing my word? Are you doing my thing? And it just might, boom, it might hit me in the side and say, you got to get it right. Then it's my goal. I got to listen. Amen. When God speaks to us through the word and through our conscience, I got to identify that. So when it becomes visible to me, what if it's harder than that? What if it's not? And I know road rage, I can assure you it's not simple. Like it's embedded. It was founded. So we're getting through that. Made some progress. We talk about that some other time. But all things become visible when they're exposed to the light. So we're going to reflect and identify the things that need to change as a result of God's word. Now there's certain things in my life that I know that I absolutely have to change. Does anybody already know what these things are? Not for me specifically, but when we look into ourselves and we think about ourselves right now, just be blatantly honest, right? Blatantly honest with yourself. Do you know that there's something that you're continuously doing that you need to change? Yes or no?
Yes,
yes or no, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, so there may be something that each and every single one of us does. So identify what needs to change as a result of God's word. So now I'm brand new, couple months, couple years, couple decades, all of this continues in growth. In Malachi 3:6, he says, for I, the Lord, do not change. So one thing that I need to understand, and I know that we're in a whole revelation of interesting generations that kind of fit everything else to fit them. And it's not my goal to offend anyone by any means, but the one truth that we all must understand is that God clearly says, I do not change.
Amen.
So I can't create a God that I can serve that benefits me, that allows me to not do God's will on the side and still feel okay about it.
Amen?
Amen? Right? If I'm violent, if I'm addicted, if I'm whatever it is, does that mean God don't love me? No, it doesn't. Because I am all these things and I've been all these things. And He knows I wake up in this every day. And this is what lets me down. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Well, it's not me. It's the sin that's within me. What's the answer? Turn into Christ. This is Paul. Right? It's the walk. And so no matter where we are in our walk, every single one of us should be convicted. And when we are convicted, the only thing God expects us to do is say, okay, I've had enough of that. I'm going this way now. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. I'm done with this. Right? Amen? Right? I don't want any of this in front of me anymore. I don't want anything in my life right now, right? No more conflict, no more temptation, no more frustration. I need to grab on to whatever it is. Did it land in the ice? What are you doing? Did I make it?
Yeah, we're taking the dodge, though. Just so
3 points. 3 points. Yeah. But you know, and that's just the whole thing. I got to think of it like I'm weeding the yard. Amen? I'm looking at my own life, and I see a thistle here, and what are them?
Deadlines.
87 of deadlines over there. Those might be venial things that I do, cursing when I'm with the guys, doing little stuff. You know what I mean? And I want to just start weed eating this negativity out of my life, because God says, what a man plants, this he shall reap.
Yep.
So I don't want to plant any more negativity in my life. I want to uproot them and kick them out. So reflect and identify on what needs to change in my life. Romans 12:12 said, do not be conformed by the world, but transformed by the renewing of the mind. Transformed by the renewing of the mind. What is that? That's when I'm reading every day and God teaches me. When I go to my services on the weekend or my gatherings or whatever it is where I'm getting around Christian brothers and sisters and fellowshipping and accepting God's will for my life. It renews my mind. It gives me a new opportunity to do better things than I had before. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Because I may not have the capacity, and we're always on a growth spectrum, right? It's a progressive measurable outcome. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, or what you got, or where you're at, God loves you right now. Amen, yes or no?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So I start right here all the way in the mud, which I can clearly remember as if it was yesterday. And slowly God must have put 5 winches to me and just drugged me straight out of the mud to where we are today, which I'm still probably muddy on occasion. But what I do is I got to take that shower and not go back in that same mud again. If I realize I'm off track, I got to pray about that and then not repeat that mistake. Reflect and identify. Proverbs 2:1-9 says, or I'm just going to summarize it. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity on every good course. So it's like, what should I do today? What should I do today? How am I going to figure this out? And here's a verse that's saying, for the Lord gives the wisdom from the mouth. What's the mouth?
The Word.
Yeah. Amen. This is the living Word of God. This is God's mouth. The more time I spend in this Word, He's telling me from this comes knowledge and understanding. Then I can discern righteousness and justice, equity for every good course. You know, so I asked myself, what should I do? What should I do? I used to be like that all the time. Things would happen. I'd be like, well, what am I going to do now? Or you talk a lot of people, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? You know, well, if I'm in the Word, then I know what I'm going to do. Amen. If I'm getting in that Word and I'm getting fed and I'm being around, I'm being strong, then it's building me. It's taking me. Amen. I got to pray about that. John 16:7-8, the Spirit convicts the world concerning sin. Consciousness, the Word. So how do we feed it? We feed that Spirit by reading every day. And we talked about that. That convicts us. That causes action. But the Spirit is our helper. He guides us, leads us, pray for us. And remember, what's in darkness shall always come to light. So the reality is, the more of the little pigs and chickens that I'm hiding behind me that I won't address, they're just waiting for that day to come out. And the longer that I hide them back there, you know, the bigger they're getting and the more I'm going to have to figure out, right? Because one compiles another. And Donnie says they always have babies, and then we got a whole farm of piglets. You know, the piglet's cute and cuddly, you know. And then pretty soon he's 1,000 pounds. You're like, wait a minute. I go to the same places that I'm going. I got the 1,000-pound pig. I can't hide it no more. Amen. I got to put him out there. I suggest bacon. Lay out the plan to make that change. Lay out the plan to make that change. So this is my final point on application. It's just right now, we know exactly where we're at. Every single one of us know exactly where we're at. I don't have to wake up tomorrow and expect perfection. But I do expect that I'll try my hardest.
Progress.
Amen? Yeah. Right? Right? So if I'm giving it my all and I'm doing everything I can do and I make that plan and I draw out that plan, I literally write that plan down and I try my hardest, then I'm doing everything I can do. Amen? And don't forget the verse that a righteous man falls down seven times he gets up. God is not unaware that we're in the flesh. He's not unaware. Now we do say, does that make it okay? We say no. Clearly, no. Never. No. It doesn't. But righteous man falls down seven times he gets up. That means no matter how many times I've failed to addiction, to relationships, to pride, to frustration, to road rage, Donnie, to anything, right? Right? To anything. No matter how many times I fail, as long as I get back up, I take that seriously, then I'm moving in God's direction. I don't want to hold that over my head. I can't tell you how many guys like got exposed to the word, made a lot of progress and failed, and then ran away because they're afraid, oh, I don't want to go back and face it. I don't want those guys to see me no more. Right? But we got a guy that we care about right now, and we just said, hey, let him come on back. Try number 131. We'll be here. Amen, right?
Amen.
Because that's how God loved me. God loved me 100,653 failures, yes or no?
In a day.
Right? So I'm called to love like God loves, are we not?
Yep.
So we'll be here. Amen. We're going to be right here when you get back out. We're going to be here. If you're blessed enough to be alive, we're going to be here.
Amen.
7 times down, 7 times up. So taking the step of application means that when we finish the Bible study, learn and close the Bible of the personal study, that we learn the lesson that we're asking. So now that I know what God wants me to do, am I going to do it? And in the prayer in Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. But in this one verse is all three steps of application. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, step 1. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, step 2. And He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Amen. Say it. He will make your path straight. Am I going to make the path straight?
Nope.
Can I do it?
Nope.
Has it ever been straight before faith?
Nope.
Right? Mine hasn't. It looks like, I don't know how many of you guys had to sit up, put up with Pee Wee Herman. But the funniest thing in the movie was when he was driving and all the squiggly lines just kept getting worse. Nobody remembers that? I'm too old now. I no longer have references. But the street sign, you know, it says it's going to curve.
Yeah.
And then he's driving, and then it's going to curve again. And then the next one comes, and it's like this. You know, and the next one's worse and worse and worse and worse. And I just think, like, if you mapped out my course, that's what it looks like. And then all of a sudden, one day, God came into my life, and you could read the sign again. Amen? It might have had a little bend to it, but it can, you know, my little sway. But it's going. It's going, amen. Study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. You know, so we want to get involved. We want to study. I encourage you guys, if you don't have a Bible, please stay after. Let us know. Read that Bible every single day. Ask questions. We got our cell phone numbers out. You can text us. What's this verse mean? We got mentors here afterwards, before, and call us whenever we want. We got to stay in that word. Amen. And you think that I've got to feed my physical, my spiritual man every bit as much as I have to feed my spiritual man. Amen. And the only way I can feed that spirit man is by reading. And I know a lot of times, or worshiping and getting involved. But we got to get involved in these things. But more importantly, when we possess that knowledge, when that knowledge speaks to us, That's when we apply it and live it in our lives. Amen.